This is the Winter Solstice call for 2015, and I want to welcome everybody who's listening live and listening via tape. I had a lot of requests for people to hear this when it's not such a crazy time of year and they're out Christmas shopping. So, and I have to warn you that tonight is going to be a little mind-boggling because we're dealing with goofy planet placements. Now, you may be wondering what's going on in the world. What's going on is goofy planet placements. And some of these goofy planet placements are going to be, you know, complicated. So bear with me. And if you have any questions, just jump in and we'll go along. So the first thing I want to talk about, and what we're going to talk about tonight, is what's going on in the sky tonight. We're a few days away from the winter solstice. And then so from tonight until the spring equinox in March, what are the big things going on? So the first big thing is a Saturn square Neptune. Now, a square is a disharmony, right? It's a 90-degree away movement. And the exact square, when these two were like, you know, right opposite, well, right at 90 degrees from each other, was November 26th. And there'll be another one on June 18th and another one on September 10th. But because these planets are so big and they're moving so, you know, slowly, that the effect is going to be felt of this Saturn square Neptune from now until, well, pretty much the whole year, 2016. So, as I said, a square is a difficult placement. It means that they're 90 degrees away in sort of a grinding action. So what are these two planets? Right, you've got Saturn, which is the big daddy. Saturn is duty, you know, restriction, do the right thing, pay your bills, eat your broccoli. And, you know, Saturn gets a bum rap, but without Saturn, we'd have no authority. We'd have no form. We'd have no structure. But Saturn is duty. It's where we should all over ourselves. You know, I must do this. I must do that. I have to pay the piper, that type of thing. Now, Neptune, the planet it is squaring, is compassion and faith and belief. And it's all things what I lovingly call the ooky spooky. So you've got the big daddy, Saturn, right, squaring, making a disharmony to this kind of ephemeral and compassionate, oh, I want to connect with spirit and I want everybody to sing kumbaya, Neptune. Okay, so what it is, it's saying, I want to do all this spiritual stuff and be, you know, the spiritual being. And Saturn is saying, but did you pay your bills? You know, did you do everything? And so it's a, we're feeling like, oh, hey, we want to, you know, go off and be Mother Teresa, but I've got a mortgage. You know, that's sort of the putting it in, you know, I could meditate for 4 hours a day if I didn't have to work. So it's that combination. These two energies are pulling against each other and will be pulling against each other throughout the entire 2016. So that's a difficult placement, and within us, it is that type of battling. Now, to make this even weirder, and I will stop and ask for questions in a second. I know some people have come on. What makes this even weirder is that Saturn is in the constellation right now of Sagittarius. This is odd because Sagittarius is where we go out and seek our truth, our knowledge. It's where we wander the world and study and learn. Saturn doesn't like being there, right? Saturn doesn't like being in such this kind of flaky, in its mind, flaky constellation. You know, Saturn doesn't have time to go study and travel and find my truth. Saturn needs to pay the bills. So Saturn's in a place where it really doesn't want to be. And the downside of Sagittarius, you know, the upside is it makes us seek our truth. The downside of Sagittarius is fundamentalism. So where I'm going to talk about how this applies to your chart, keep in mind, without getting too political here, you know, we see sort of a rise of this kind of, shall we say, dictatorial, I know I'm right kind of energy in this country. This is where it's coming from. Saturn in Sagittarius, the fundamentalist, I know my truth, you know, the, sort of the big daddy in that, squaring Neptune, which is compassion and love and peace and kumbaya. So there's a very grinding energy. And to make this even more interesting, Neptune, the one that Saturn is squaring, is in Pisces. Neptune loves being in Pisces because Neptune rules Pisces. You know, so if we've got a double dose of, you know, peace and compassion and love and mommy energy with a Saturn that doesn't want to be where it is, squaring all this energy. So if you've gotten your bi-wheel Sunday, and I know several people have asked to see where their charts are, you know, look, if you've got the bi-wheel in front of you, and if you don't have your bi-wheel, just take notes and you can ask me for it later if you have sent for one. The chart in the middle of that bi-wheel, two wheels, is your birth chart. The one on the outside is the transit chart. So you want to look where Saturn is and where Neptune is. Now, Saturn on the chart looks like just a big H, a big green H with a line through the, a horizontal line through the vertical part of the H. And Neptune is the light blue, it looks like trident, looks like Poseidon's trident. So it's a light blue trident shaped. So see where they are on the transit chart, the outside chart. See what houses they're in. And then see, you know, are they, is one of them sitting right on a birth planet? This is going to enhance it. And again, I'll shut up in a second if there's anybody who has questions. But for me, you know, my Saturn is right now in the second house, which is money and resources, okay, and, you know, doing all those things, collecting money, things Saturn likes to do. My Neptune is in the fifth house, creativity and self-expression. So for me, it's that battle between the guilt of not expressing my compassionate Neptunian side enough versus Saturn, who's saying, you're 60 years old. Do you have enough money? Have you built your nest egg? You really don't need to be doing that kind of stuff. You need to be making money. So it's that push me, pull you llama. So that's where you're going to have to work out all through 16. Remember, there's a Bible quote where Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God. So we have to give to Saturn what is Saturn and Neptune what is Neptune and balancing that out. So I'm going to shut up now because, as I said, these two placements I'm going to talk about now, this one and the next coming up, are pretty difficult to understand. So I want to make sure there are no questions. So if you have muted yourself, which is a star 6 on your phone, and you want to ask a question, just hit star 6 again. It'll unmute you. And if you haven't muted yourself, just jump in if you have a question. Bueller, anyone?
We're here, but we don't have any questions.
Okay, that's fine. Sometimes they do, sometimes people don't. So I just wanted, because this is a little funky one, I want to give everybody who's jumped on a chance. Now, just to make yourself a little more interesting, Ceres. Okay, Ceres is now a dwarf planet. She used to be an asteroid. She got promoted to a dwarf planet. And she, on your chart, not the best way to describe Ceres, she looks like a sickle, a blue sickle. She is creeping up in throughout January and February on Neptune. And both are in Pisces. And Ceres is where we want to feel nurturing, where we give and receive a great deal of nurturing. So she's next to Neptune. So now you've got Ceres saying, oh, I want to nurture that compassionate spiritual part. And Saturn's going, whoa, wait. So you can see where everybody's feeling a little bit tense right now because of this. Now, here's the other confusing thing going on. And I promise that's the last confusing. I'm going to start it off with the two confusing ones. Jupiter will be squaring Saturn in March. Just around, I said this would go through the spring equinox, but just before the equinox, and they will be square from March 23rd, and then there'll be a really direct square on the 16th of June. So at the same time we've got Neptune-Saturn, we've got Jupiter squaring Saturn. Okay, so if you're wondering why the world is nutty, this is just one or two reasons why. Jupiter, okay, rules Sagittarius. I just talked about Sagittarius, right, because Saturn is in there. So Jupiter is expansion, growth, you know, going out and searching the world. So it's like Jupiter is the 18-year-old, or say the 21-year-old who's just graduated from college and is going to make his way in the world, and Saturn is the old grandfather saying, yeah, I know more than you, kitty. So now you've got Jupiter, the ruler of Sag. We know Saturn is in Sag, squaring Saturn, the authority. So again, it's reigning in and growth, reigning in and growth. So Saturn is saying stay home and clean your floors, and Jupiter is saying go to college in Florence. So again, we're having to balance not only our spirituality versus our, you know, down-home money, this is what you have to do. Now we're reining in our wanderlust, or I want to go, you know, take a trip. I want to go read a book about philosophy with have you done the dishes kind of energy. So again, knowing that these are in a negative or a difficult position is actually a benefit, because difficult positions are there so that we can grow from them. So again, learning to balance, where's your Neptune? I'm sorry, where's your Jupiter? Where's that desire to go? And again, where's the Saturn? Jupiter, by the way, on your chart, is best depicted like a big old four. She's a dark blue four. And so where is she on your chart? And again, where's that Saturn? Because you have to see that energy. So my Jupiter, we know my Saturn is transiting second house. My Jupiter is transiting my 12th house, which is the house of Neptune and Pisces. So again, I'm getting this. I'm going to express my spirituality, Neptune in the fifth, but I need to build my nest egg, Saturn in the second. But Jupiter is telling me to go meditate on the mountain because it's in the house of Neptune. So what am I going to do? Am I going to wander around feeling confused? Or am I going to say, okay, I need to come up with a plan that's going to balance all this energy so that I could sort of sail through it? And that's what we have to do with squares. We can look upon squares as being, oh, you know, I had lunch with a friend yesterday. She's like, oh, I just can't look at my chart. It's just so difficult, all these squares and Jupiter, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, but break it down. You know, look at where each house is and then say, okay, I've got to give some time to this and some time to that. And then you won't feel so confused. So have I confused everybody?
I'm confused.
Uh-oh. All right. You're confused.
No, in a good way. I'm confused in a good way.
Confused in a good way. Okay. Is there any way I can unconfuse you, or you got it? Well, you don't have your bi-wheel, do you?
Yeah, I don't have my bi-wheel, so I'll have to get that from you.
I'll send it to you after the thing. Anybody else who's jumped on confused? Great. This is great. People aren't as confused as I thought. Okay, now for the easy stuff. This gets easier, okay? Good news, all right? Uranus comes out of retrograde on Christmas Day. Now, if you were on the call, right? Woohoo is right. If you were on the call in the solstice, the equinox, don't do that. The equinox in the fall, you'll know that I said everybody's retrograde. Pluto was retrograded. Neptune was retrograded. Everybody was retrograded. And I said the last one that's going to come out of retrograde is Uranus, and it's our Christmas present because she comes out of retrograde on Christmas Day. And here's some other good news. there will be no one retrograded, no planets retrograded from December 25th to January 5th. So if you are confused in a good way, that's a good week to think about the energies you need to balance, because there'll be no retrogrades in the sky for that week, December 25th to January 5th. So Uranus is in Aries right now. Another reason why the world is nuts, because Uranus is like the teenager energy. It's quick. It's rebellious. It's future thinking. It's, you know, 20 years ahead of everybody else. It wants sudden change. It has no patience for slow things or old things. Uranus wants change. It deals with electricity and computers and fast-moving ideas. And, of course, Aries, ruled by Mars, is the masculine, the stereotypical masculine energy. I lead, you follow, I do, I'm the warrior. So you've got this sort of, Uranus in Aries is like a teenage boy running with a knife, you know, because it's sort of all over the place energy. Now, that can be too much energy, but it also can be brilliant energy. If you think about Uranus in a fire sign, the fire sign of leadership and getting done what you want to get done. Because where Uranus is in your chart, now that she is just emerging from retrograde, she, what they call station direct, she sort of sits still on Christmas Day and then she starts moving in a forward direction. I'll give you sort of a primer on retrograde in a second. But that energy where she comes through, whatever house that's in for you, is a time where you can blow away all kinds of negative energy. You can blow away energy that's standing still. You can move forward. So on your chart, Uranus is a purple, he looks like an H on a unicycle. That's the best way to describe him. So where he is transiting on that big wheel of the outside is where on Christmas Day through, I mean, he won't go retrograde for a long time now. You can say, I've got a lot of stagnant energy in this house. Where do I want to be in 20 years or 10 years in this house? What do I want to do in this house? So that's a lot of really strong energy that you can grab onto with Uranus coming out of retrograde. So whatever house he's in and whatever natal planets he's on. So if you're looking on the outside wheel and say you've got Uranus in the 10th house, transiting your 10th house, but you've got your Sun or Mercury or somebody else in the 10th house and it's sitting on there, well, you could be making a great deal of plans if it's in Mercury, communication. If it's in your Sun, what's your inner spark? So there's a lot of positive, flowing, creative energy that can come out of that. And, you know, we've got like a week to plan. She's going to go station direct. And just to explain what we mean by retrograde, a retrograded planet looks like it's going backwards in the sky. So if you're down here and you can't see Uranus with the naked eye, but she's got a telescope and you say, oh, you know, from where we are here on Earth, I'm looking up there, that guy looks like he's going backwards. Well, he's not. Obviously, planets don't go backwards. It's just an illusion based on where we are in the sun and where they are. Astronomers call that a retrograded motion. For astrologers, it means that energy is kind of inward, backwards. It's hesitating. And then when she's station direct, if you look at Uranus on Christmas Day, she'll look like she's not moving at all. She's stationing direct, and then she starts moving forward again. So look for that funny little H on a unicycle on your chart, and that's a place of bursting forth energy from Christmas Day forward. Any Uranus questions? Damn, you guys are good tonight. Either that or you're totally blown away. But I'm going to say, I'm going to go with, yeah, no, they get this totally. They get this totally. Excuse me. Now, I said nobody would go retrograde until January 5th. And my favorite planet and the planet that strikes fear in everybody's heart when it goes retrograde, and that is Mercury. Mercury will be retrograded, yes, for the most of the month of January. From January 15th to January 25th, Mercury will be retrograded, and she's going to be retrograded in Aquarius. So that quirky, you know, Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, that quirky kind of energy, yeah, that's going to be it. Now, people freak out when Mercury is in retrograde. And it's pretty much unnecessary. By the way, if you're looking for Mercury on your chart, the best way to describe her, she's like a little person. Okay, she's got the circle head and the stick body, like the way I draw. And then she's wearing a little hat, little like a horny hat. And she's sort of a really ugly color on my computer printout. She's like a mustard yellow. I never understood why they gave Mercury mustard yellow, but that's what she is. Now, if you're looking at your bi-wheel and your Mercury is, say, the transiting Mercury on the outside is happens to be sitting on your natal Mercury, well, yeah, you're going to feel this retrograde. So this is when you've got to be careful about, you know, electricity and, you know, signing contracts and saying things that people don't understand because your words are coming out fast backwards. If it's on your moon, you know, there's going to be emotional hurt. But if it's not on any of your natal planets, if it's not opposing any of your natal planets, like your sun, your moon, your Venus, you know, your Mars, you're probably not going to feel it. A lot of people make a lot about Mercury retrograde, but unless it's really hitting it, one of your natal planets, or if your rising sign is Gemini, which is ruled by Mercury, and Mercury's going through your first house, yeah, you're going to have to watch those things. But otherwise, people will go through unscathed. And again, the thing that Mercury controls is communication, and that's because of the Aquarius energy, and Aquarius rules computers and electricity. Computers, contracts, that's a very Mercury thing. Of course, anything that has to do with conveying information is a Mercury thing. So take a look at your chart, and if Mercury is not hitting anything funky, don't worry about it. It's not that big a thing, trust me. Okay, so if there's no Mercury questions, I want to talk a little bit about Jupiter. And Jupiter is the other big retrograde that we have. And Jupiter will go retrograded right after January, right after Mercury. It goes January 6th, and it stays in retrograde till May 9th. And you see the difference. Mercury retrogrades for 25 days. Jupiter retrogrades for, what, 4, 5, 6 months. And that's because of the speed of the planets. Now, Jupiter, keep in mind, will be retrograding when she's squaring Saturn. So Jupiter is going to be in the weaker position because it's retrograde. So Saturn, the authority guy, the dictator, I don't want to say dictator, that's not fair to Saturn. The big daddy, the, you know, Aegis and, you know, all that stuff, is going to have the upper hand from January 6th to May 9th. So, you know, again, on a global scale, you might be a little scared because, and anything horrible is going to happen, but you could see where the symbols of authority or those people who are prone to wanting a more authoritarian activity or leadership or do are going to be more feisty, okay? On a personal level, you just have to remember that Saturn is holding the upper hand. Just don't let it overtake. So what I'm saying is, you know, you've got Jupiter, my need to search, to grow, to wander, to explore. And Saturn saying, no, stay home and make money and clean your floors. The fact that Saturn holds the upper hand for, you know, until May, don't let that overwhelm your Jupiter and say, no, I can't do that. I can't do anything different. I can't travel. I can't. No. Just remember, you're battling that energy, and Jupiter is retrograde. And there's a positivity to retrograde. In fact, I have one client who loves retrogrades. She says, I just love retrogrades because I can do so much work. And here's the upside to Jupiter in retrograde. So I want you to keep the upside in mind because, you know, some people get freaky when they hear retrograde. When Jupiter is in retrograde, all retrogrades demand that we go inside, that we look inside ourselves, to take inward, to rely on your personal wisdom. Think of a retrograde as like curling up in a ball with a good book. So it's a good time to explore the growth and the changes that you need to transform your life. So if you're having this battle of Jupiter versus Saturn, you might say, okay, yeah, let me explore my Jupiter stuff. Jupiter tells me to travel, to find out other cultures, to find out how other people live, to study other religions, to develop my personal philosophy. Am I really not doing that at all? Have I become so nose to the grindstone? You know, so it's an inward looking. It's a time to say, okay, so how do I need to balance this Jupiter energy, and how have I been ignoring my Jupiter energy? So, you know, instead of this big happy-go-lucky, you know, Jupiter is an enormous planet. I mean, I think it's like 5-6 times the size of Earth. It's huge. And so it's pushing us to go and grow. Now we say, okay, slow down. So it's a really good time to examine personal philosophies. Because remember, Jupiter's, what do I believe? What's my philosophy? How do I live? What's my code? And kind of reevaluate, you know, what my belief system is. How do I function? It's a good time, you know, because it says move forward. When it's going backwards, it's like, do I know myself? Do I really understand the code by which I live? And that's not a very personal. That's what we should be doing during this time. Of course, unfortunately, on a national scale, if we don't have enough people trying to reevaluate our true philosophies, then it's going to be a time for the bellicose Saturn types to sort of really get in our faces. But hopefully, by doing that, you know, we can all come out of this a little bit better as people. So for me, with Jupiter in my 12th house, I've got no choice but to do a lot of spiritual soul searching. You know, what do I want to do? How do I want to connect? 12th house is where we connect with God, the universe, whatever you want to call it. So I need to be doing that during this time. So where is Jupiter by transit in your outer wheel? And where do you need to be saying, okay, what's my philosophy this time around? That's the beauty of the Jupiter energy. So those are the big things going on this quarter. Does anybody have any questions, or have I totally blown you away and confused you? Probably all of the above. Well,
it seems like an active time for self-reflection and for just being aware that efforts towards expansion may be slowed down.
Yeah, and not to be stymied by them. Exactly.
Right. It's not permanent. It's not permanent. It's just
nothing's permanent. Nothing's permanent. Right. But well, to all who are listening live, and to all the people, and there was a lot more people, I think, because of the season, who want copies of this by audio, which is fine. I want to wish you a happy holiday season. I will send you your chart, your bi wheel. And, of course, if anybody else wants the bi-wheel, just email me at jonesastrology@gmail.com. And if you have any really personal questions that you don't want on the tape, email me and we can set up a time for that as well. But I appreciate everybody who's listening live and on tape, and wish everybody a happy holiday.
You too, and happy Beethoven's birthday today.
That's right. Thank you. Happy Beethoven's birthday. Oh, God. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.